Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127-games.com.
Welcome back to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the podcast that discusses historical and New England gaming. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the five reasons you should shop at your friendly local game store. That's right, the five reasons you should shop at your friendly local game store. We're also going to be talking about a few other things on today's show. It's episode 79. We're going to talk about a little bit more about the Deadhampton Revolution. I have a guest I want to announce that will be appearing here on the show before the end of the year, I promise you. I also have some plans for TotalCon 2013 that I would like to talk about. And then I have a few other bits of odds and ends that I want to cover. Plus, this is another month, and you know what that means. It is also the time for me to give you the August 2012 stats for the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. This time last month, we gave you the July stats for the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. And again, the month before that, did the same thing. It's a little bit of something that I like to keep on going. So we're going to start today's show off. I want to welcome all of you to the episode. And I just want to get right into it. You know, I don't want to make you wait. I want to jump right into the five reasons that you should shop at your friendly local game store. Number one. The number one reason why you should go and shop at your friendly local game store is that the friendly local game store has better customer service. You're thinking, better than what? Well, okay, let's talk about alternatives to the friendly local game store. If you're not buying it at your local game store, the brick and mortar nearby, you're probably buying it at some big box store somewhere. You're buying it at a Walmart, Toys R Us, or, you know, whatever those big box stores happen to be. Or you're buying it online. You're buying it from one of those many online vendors. And, you know, there's tons of them out there. And you're thinking, okay, so you're doing one of that. Now, let's think about it. If you go to that big box store, they don't specialize in games. They're not gamers. They're just people there who are selling all sorts of stuff. They're just collecting their paycheck, waiting for their break, and they're doing whatever. The box store does not care about you. So their customer service, their gaming customer service, won't be as good as it is at the friendly local game store. How about if you're going online and you're looking around online and you're like, oh, cool, I found this cheap price at whatever online vendor. The online vendor does not care about you. They don't. You are just someone that they are selling product to, and they're selling it to tons of people, and that's how they're able to get their price. Well, one of the ways they're able to get those prices low. If you have a problem, that online vendor probably not going to do a whole lot for you. But the friendly local game store is going to do all sorts of stuff for you, whether or not you have a problem with their product. They're going to be able to tell you about all the new and upcoming releases for whatever game you happen to be playing. They can pre-order the games for you. They'll be able to teach you how to play those games. You walk in, you're like, I don't know how to play game XYZ, right? They will be like, dude, game XYZ is awesome, and this is why. Do you want to try it? We got a copy here. They'll be able to teach you all about game XYZ, and maybe by them teaching you and interacting with you and talking with you about game XYZ, you're going to be like, do you know what? That's really cool. I didn't think I would buy that before, but I'm going to buy it now. And it's all because of the great customer service they gave. From A to Z, from the moment that you walk in that door, they will be able to walk you through every single thing you need for whatever game it is you want to play. Let's pretend you're starting off in, I don't know, I'm going to say Flames of War, just because we've talked about it before not too long ago. You're starting off with Flames of War. You've never set foot in a game store before. You've never played a game like this before. You have no idea what to do with any of these little miniatures or whatever. You read about it online. You thought it was cool. Maybe you were at a con and you happen to see some retailer selling the game. You saw the Battlefront people there saying, oh, cool, we got this new stuff coming out for Flames of War and you should get it and it's really cool. And you're like, oh, that sounds cool. I think I'll actually start playing the game. But what do I do? So you go to your friendly local game store and you're like, hey, you know, there's this game, Flames of War. You ever hear of it? And they're like, yeah, Flames of War. It's cool. Lots of people play it here. Oh, you know, I was thinking of trying it and getting into it. I just don't know. What do I do? Where do I start? It's really confusing. So you can talk with the game store employee and they'll be like, okay, dude, you know what? You should get this, or you should get that, or a better question in better customer service would be, what do you like about the game? What interest do you have? And then they can maybe steer you towards a faction to play. They can tell you what sort of material that you need. They'll tell you, oh, you need to get some paints, you need some brushes, we got all of that, you need glue, we got glue for you too, or whatever you need. So you can buy the models, you can clean them up, you can base them, you could do everything from A to Z. They'll walk you through the process, and if you buy the product there, and hopefully you will, then maybe, you know, there'll be someone else there working on their Flames of War, and you can just work your way through it. It's all of this stuff, all this great customer service from A to Z that you get by going to your friendly local game store. And only by going to your friendly local game store are you going to get this fantastic, this amazing, this better customer service, better than what you're going to get at that box store, and better than what you're going to get online at that online vendor. Number two, the second reason why you should shop at your friendly local game store is the friendly local game store lets you try before you buy. That's right. Try before you buy. It's like, you know, you go in to buy a car, right? You don't just walk onto the lot and say, I want that car, and you drive it away. No, you go in and say, hey, I want a car. I'm thinking of this, this, and this. And you go and you take the car for a test drive. If you can test drive a car, if you can look for a house and walk around the house and take a tour of the house, why can't you test drive the games that you want to play to see if it's a game that you like? You shouldn't have to rely on what someone else said. You shouldn't have to rely on some unknown person in, you know, some other country saying, oh, this is really cool, on, you know, saying that on an internet message board. You should be able to go to a place such as your local game store, and you should be able to walk in and say, cool, I heard about this game, but do you have it? And maybe you can teach me about it. I'd like to try it, maybe. Do you have, like, a demo copy? And the game store, they're going to have a demo copy, probably, of many games. They might run demo events of those games. Battleground Games and Hobbies in Plainville, when they first opened, on their opening day, they did lots of demo events of Warhammer 40K. They had some stuff set up, and they did introductory games. They taught you how to play Warhammer 40K. You can't learn how to play a game from an online vendor. I don't care how awesome, how much you love that online vendor. It's just not happening. I'm sorry. It can't happen. But it does at your local game store. So you go into that game store. They might do introductory games. They might have demo copies of the games for you to play. Or they might just be able to explain how you can play the game. They might be able to explain what products you need. Maybe there are other customers in the store who are playing that game, who are working on the stuff for that game. They might be playing Ticket to Ride, and you're like, I've always wanted to learn how to play Ticket to Ride. You can see the people playing and ask, hey, buddy, do you mind if I join in? I'm new here. I've always heard that this was a cool game, but I haven't played it, and I'd like to play it. Is there room for one more? They're going to say, yeah, do you know what? We need another player. Why don't you hop in? We'll explain how to play the game. You can play with us, and then maybe you might buy your own copy of the game. If nothing else, you're going to learn how to play this other game so that somewhere down the road, you'll be able to teach someone else how to play the game. Again, it's only something you get at your friendly local game store, so keep that in mind. The third reason why you should shop at your friendly local game store is that your friendly local game store is building a community. That's right, a community. Community is one of those things that seems intangible. It seems like it doesn't have monetary value to it, right? Seems like, well, maybe it's not going to give anything to me. It's not going to give value to me. It's not going to put money in my pocket, so why should I care? But you should, because the community is something that rewards itself. The community will allow you to meet other gamers. It'll allow you to play games with them. You can talk to the other people in the community, these other gamers. You're going to be able to learn how to do stuff. Maybe you've always wanted to know how to paint red better, right? Chances are there's someone in the store or someone in that gaming community that centers on that store, on that local game store, someone in that community who can teach you how to paint that red better than you've been doing it. Someone who can teach you how to play the game. Someone who can teach you other ways to base or other game systems to play or just other stuff. Maybe there's some terrain expert and you've always wanted to know how to make a better hill, right? You've made hills and they just have never been good. Or maybe you've never made a hill before in your life and you want to give it a try, but you don't know where to start. You don't know what products to use, what materials to get. The community at your local game store can help you. And you can help the community because there is at least one thing, I assure you, at least one thing that you are fantastic at. one thing you just own. You are the expert. You're amazing. You are the superstar at whatever this one thing is. And chances are, you're a superstar at many things. So you can tell others what you know about this thing or these things that you are an expert about. These things you are amazing with. Maybe you are fantastic on how to play a certain type of game, so you're able to teach people how to play this game. And others can teach you the different things you don't know. The community builds on each other. It's self-feeding. It helps each other. It nurtures each other. You know, without this community, you are alone. They are alone. You're all separate. You're all little islands, right? And by yourself, you can only do certain stuff. But when you build those bridges and connect with the other people, with the other islands, with this community, each of you becomes better than your individual pieces, so that you then gain knowledge you never had before. You know how to build those hills that you needed. You know how to paint that tank better. You know how to do whatever or how to play a game. You know all sorts of stuff you never knew. Perhaps, if you're lucky enough, you will build some friendships here. You will form friendships with some of these people. I am delighted to say that I have been able to form many friendships as a result of participating and being a member of this community that exists at Battleground Games and Hobbies. I formed friends with people who I would not be friends with before now. The best man at my wedding is a guy who I met as a result of going to Battleground and by participating in the community there, by talking about the store, by going to the store, playing at the store, buying at the store, by going there and meeting these other people and being a member of the Battleground Games and Hobbies community. I met this guy, became best friends with him, and he was my best man. One of the people who was the usher at my wedding met him too. And again, Battleground is the common thread to this. The community at that local game store is the common thread. It's how I made a lot of the friends who I have now. They're friends who I will have for a very long time. And if you're lucky, the same exact thing can happen to you, and it can only happen by participating in the community that your friendly local game store builds. This is not a community that will ever exist at a big box store. It's not a community that will ever exist at any online vendor. I don't care how cheap the prices are online. I don't care what they stock. One thing they can never, ever do is form a community like will exist at your friendly local game store. It's just not happening. If, do you know what? I'll grant you, if you ever see one of those happen, tell me about it. Send me an email, cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com, because I'd love to hear about it. I tell you, I don't think it's ever going to happen, because this is one area that local game stores, brick and mortar stores, cannot be beat. Building a community, and it's perhaps the most important thing that your friendly local game store will ever do. Just think about that for a moment. Building a community, very important. That is the number three reason why you should shop at your friendly local game store. The number four reason why you should shop at your friendly local game store is the friendly local game store contains hidden treasures. That's right, hidden treasures. You're thinking, wait, I'm not Indiana Jones. I'm not out looking for the Ark of the Covenant or the crystal skulls that the aliens left behind or whatever. But it's true. Your friendly local game store probably has some hidden treasures. They might have that first edition rulebook that you've always wanted and you just never knew existed. Maybe they have a limited run of a game. Maybe because they're a local game store, they've supported an independent artist, an independent publishing community. And so they have a run of an independent game that's really cool that you could never find anywhere else. You're never going to find on that online vendor. You're never going to find in a big box store. But you can find that really awesome indie game at your local game store. They just might have stuff that's out of print now. Things that, you know, you've always wanted, that third edition Warhammer whatever, the early whatever Perry miniatures, whatever it happens to be, things that you can't find anywhere else, but you always thought would be cool to get. They might have it somewhere on their shelves or in their back room. There's a game store near me, The Wiz, which is a fantastic game store. They sold out of one of the Games Workshop games, and I wish I could remember the name of it. I know one of you listeners will get in touch with me and be like, dude, how could you forget what the name was? And it's Games Workshop's new, like, Warhammer Fantasy naval game. And this game, it's like $100 or whatever. The Wiz had a ton of copies and they sold out like that. Yeah, just like that. You can't get them anymore. But you know where you can? Battleground Games and Hobbies in Abington. So you can go down there, you can get that. Or if you're at Battleground or another game store and they don't have what you want, maybe The Wiz has what you need. You're only going to find the stuff by going to your local game stores because they might have something hidden behind all those other treasures in the back of the rack or underneath whatever. You go digging around, you go looking, you're going to find something pretty awesome. I assure you, you will find things you never knew existed, but it turns out you can't live without. You just have to have whatever. And looking for those treasures, that's part of the fun. That's something that you're going to see there. And this merchandise, these treasures are things they've been removed from those online vendors ages ago. They've been removed from the box stores, so the box store never even carried them. But your friendly local game store has it, and they will gladly sell it to you. And then you will be the guy who has it. You'll be the kid who has it. All your buddies, they'll be like, dude, that's so cool. How'd you get whatever that happens to be? Oh, I found it at whatever game store you went to. And your buddies are going to be wishing that they were able to get it there. It's going to be something that's limited, hard to find, hard to get. But because you went to your friendly local game store, you picked up a copy of it. You got that treasure. You took it out of the sand and held it up and said, look, I have the crystal skull. I have whatever. You know, you have that really awesome thing that no one else can find anymore, but you found it. So that's number 4 on 5 reasons why you should shop at your friendly local game store. And reason number 5, and this is kind of an odd reason, I know I kind of covered it already, but the 5th reason why you should shop at your friendly local game store is the friendly local game store allows you to interact with real people. That's right, real people. And you're thinking, real people? That's overrated. Well, think about it this way, right? Anytime you have to call because you have a problem with your phone bill, your cell phone, your cable internet, your whatever, you're talking to a machine. It's always press 1 for this, dial 4 for that. You never get an operator. You never get a real person. But what you need doesn't fit into those pre-programmed responses, those press 4 for whatever. You need to talk to a real person. You need to interact with someone else. It's too easy for gamers to live in their dungeons, to never interact with another person, to sit behind that computer, to roll those D6, to run those solo war games, to live in the dark in the musty basement, and never step foot outside, never clamp eyes on another person. That's no way to live. You go to that friendly local game store, you're going to meet other gamers, you're going to be able to talk to the game store employees. You have a problem with something? They can fix it for you. You'll be able to explain to them what you need and what you want. And these are going to be things that just don't fit into those pre-programmed boxes. Those things that say, press 2 for department whatever, press 4 for this, or dial 9, or email customserve at whatever. You're going to actually talk with a real person, and that will make you happier. That will make you a better person, and that'll allow you to fit into these other areas. That'll allow you to get the better customer service. That'll allow you to try the games before you buy them. It'll allow you to be part of that community your friendly local game store is building, and that'll allow you to find those hidden treasures that exist at your friendly local game store. So last time on the show, we talked about the reasons why you should not shop at a friendly local game store. And we gave a bunch of different reasons. We talked about, you know, maybe the game store is unsanitary, maybe just all sorts of stuff. And we gave all these different scenarios about things. But I'm telling you now, and this episode is partly to balance off the other one, but I'm telling you, this is what I believe. I believe you need to shop at your friendly local game store. Are they perfect? No. But nobody is, nothing is, and they try. And as long as your game store is trying, as long as your game store does not do the stuff that's on that list of 5 reasons to not shop there, as long as it's a good game store, then you should go there. You should support it. It is supporting you. It does it with its customer service. It does it with the community. I can't stress that community enough. It does it with all these things I'm talking about in this episode. These are why you need to go to your game store. You need to support them, because if you don't, they go away. And if they go away, where are you going to go when you want to try that new game and you don't want to shell out the $45 for it without knowing if it's any good? Where are you going to go to participate in that community to get those games in? Where are you going to go to form those friendships? Where are you going to go to find those hidden treasures? Where? I'd love to know it. And you know, maybe it's, you're thinking, oh, Jonathan, it's so hypocritical of you because your podcast is sponsored by an online vendor. And you know what? It is. And I do shop at online vendors, but I don't only shop there. I go to my local game stores. I get my material there. I'm a member of their communities. I interact with them. I support them. It's important to support your game store, and there's a lot of different ways to do it. And one of those ways is to shop there. So I hope you will go, and I hope you will find a game store near you, one that is awesome, because it exists. I promise you it exists. For every story you hear about a bad game store, there is at least one good one, if not more. Find the good game store. Talk with the owner. Talk with the staff. Befriend them. Like them. They're going to like you. They're not going to judge you. They're good people. Go there. Put yourself out there. Find those hidden treasures. Be a part of that community. Get the customer service that you deserve. Interact with the real people that go and live and breathe at these game stores. And go and try those games before you buy them. These are all things you can only do at your friendly local game store. You'll be able to get this list and everything else I'm going to be talking about in this episode by going to our show notes, which you can access by going to www.wargamingforums.com/WR79. That's right, wargamingforums.com/WR79 for the show notes for this episode. And you'll be able to find the 5 reasons you should shop at your friendly local game store. Now I want to talk about something a little bit different from the friendly local game store, okay? Near the end of August, Adrian Court and myself got together and we played a little bit of the Black Powder rule set by Warlord Games. It was a lot of fun, and we played an American War of Independence, an American Revolution battle. We played American Civil War. We did the part of the first battle of the first Bull Run. And we did that. And Adrian actually had to leave early. But before he left, we talked about a few things. And I'm going to kind of put them both together in here. And they kind of bleed into one another. I hope you'll forgive me for that. There's not going to be clear distinction. Like right now, we're talking about this segment. And then that segment's over. So now we're going to talk about new segment. Both of these segments are kind of going together. So while we were there, Court had given me an order that I had placed with him for some more Old Glory figures. Court has this awesome discount there, and I hope I'm not going to get him in trouble for mentioning it. But he's allowing me and Adrian to purchase material with his discount because these are items that we are going to be using for the Deadhampton Revolution. If you're a new listener to the show, you're thinking, Deadhampton Revolution, what the hell is that? Well, I'm going to get to that in a second. If you're a longtime listener, you know all about it. I've talked about it ad nauseum. But the Deadhampton Revolution is the mythical, hypothetical, what-if, make-believe, imagination, historical campaign that I'm running. It's based on the American Revolution, the war, American War of Independence, for those of you across the ocean, across the pond. And I have made my own map using Hexographer, which I love. You should be sure to check out my reviews of that. I did tons of stuff on it on the blog. So you're going to want to go to wargamingforums.com/WR79, which are the show notes for this episode. And then I will have a link to my review of Hexographer, which is a great program. But I made my map in that. I used Henry Hyde's War of the Faltenian Succession as kind of a guideline for how to create my world and what I want to go ahead and do with making all of my stuff. It was a big help for me to have that. And then I went ahead and I just kind of created these colonies, and I created a motherland. Of course, they're all based off of England and her New England, her New World colonies here in North America. I'm taking one of the colonies and Court's taking another. Adrian's tackling the role of the hypothetical, what if England, Great Britain. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And we're going to be playing this using Old Glory miniatures, 10mm, just because they're cheaper, they're easier to transport. And you know what? They don't take as much work to paint them up and make them look halfway decent. With them being so small on the table and you being 3 or 4 feet away, you just put a little bit of paint on them, you know, a base coat, maybe a skin color, maybe one other color, and just a little bit of shadowing or highlighting. You're done. It takes no amount of time, and they're going to look pretty decent on the table. So I've been getting my figures, my Old Glory figures, through Court, and I got a new shipment. I got a bunch of light dragoons. I got a lot of militia and all of that sort. And I actually just placed a new order for the rest of it. It's like $100-something worth of stuff, but I'm getting it for a little less. Anyway, I had discovered that each of the little baggies that come with the figures for either the militia or the infantry. When you figure out how many stands you get and how many guys they represent, each baggie of that will equal 3 regiments of troops for the game. So I had done all this math, and I looked up, you know, demographics, and I don't want to bore you with the details, but I've done some research, and I continue to do research on how many people lived and what the fighting forces were and all that sort of stuff for the different colonies. And realistically, or, you know, in make-believe land, how many men could be in their, you know, colonial forces and the continental army and so forth. So I've been able to come up with different things on how many regiments each colony can afford and, you know, the fake motherland. And my whole campaign, like I said, is called the Deadhampton Revolution. Deadhampton is my version of England. There's New Deadhampton, which is the colony that I'm controlling. There's Glowland and Natickingham, or Natickingham, as some people pronounce it. And, you know, there's ships, and there's infantry, and cavalry, and artillery, and just all this sort of stuff. I've been working on all that and putting it together and using it, and it's going to be a lot of fun for when we actually start playing the games. And I'm just kind of working on blending things together, and we're going to use the black powder rules and just merging things a little bit here and there to come up with our own way of playing. My goal is that while we play, I'll be able to take all our notes and our moves and orders and all that kind of stuff, compile them, write them up, then edit them and whatever, and release it as a publication on WarGameVault/DriveThruRPG so that people can buy, and probably not going to cost much of anything, probably might even be free, but I'll talk about that and think about that when the time comes. But people will be able to get that and download it digitally and then see what we've done. Maybe you will then use that and do your own imaginations and your own fake campaigns, your what-if situations, your historical make-believe campaigns. But as part of this, we talked, Adrian Cord and myself, that is, we talked about TotalCon 2013. At last year's TotalCon, we ran a historical war game. We did Daybreak at Hangman's Creek, which is a scenario. It's a scenario in the Black Powder rulebook. It's American Civil War. It's a what-if scenario. It's not real. But we did that using Court's 15mm. I think it's his Old Glory figures. We had a big table there, and we played, and we were surprised, pleasantly surprised, I might add, very pleasantly surprised, that we were maxed out. We could fit a total of 6 players in the game. We got 6 people from all ages, from teenagers, from like mid-teens, all the way up to guys in their 40s and 50s. Everyone had a blast as far as I know. Everyone loved it. Everyone just had tons of fun. I think we were maybe the only historical war game there. And TotalCon is not really a historical con. It's not really a historical war gaming con. It's more for role-playing games. It's more for board games and things like that. It's not so much where you're going to go and play 40K, where you're going to go and play Flames of War, where you're going to go and play Saga or Black Powder. It's just not what you're going to find there. And if that's what you want to play, chances are you're going to be better off going to Havoc, better off going to Huzzah, Historicon, etc. But we gave it a go, and it worked really well, so we decided we wanted to do another game. And we talked a little bit about what to do, and I don't want to give too much away, but I can tell you that we are working on a scenario for the American War of Independence, the American Revolution, that we will run at TotalCon 2013. We will have more details as we work on it some more, and we kind of divided up who needs to do what and what product we need to get and terrain and all that sort of stuff and what we have to do. As TotalCon will be in February of 2013. As it gets closer, I will, of course, reveal information about it. So hopefully, if you are in the area or you're going to be in the area, hopefully you will come and play in the game, because I would love for you to play in the game. I'd love to meet you and talk with you and just have a blast playing this game. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's very casual. It's almost introductory level. We explain a lot, but, you know, it helps if you know a little bit about how war games work, a little bit about how tabletop miniatures and that sort of stuff. But as the time gets closer, I will be talking more about it and have more details for you. For right now, I just wanted to announce that we will be doing a game at TotalCon 2013. We will be doing it set in the American War of Independence, the American Revolution. You can be positive that that will be there. And I believe we will be doing it in 10mm, so you get an idea of what we might be doing and where we might be doing it. 10mm provides some cool challenges for us, which will be different than 15. And it'll be some good positives, too. We should hopefully be able to easily get this together. Last year, we basically had everything. We just had to make some terrain and do a few odds and ends. But the models were all there. Court had everything. It was already assembled, already painted. We were good to go. This time we need to build up from the ground, build up from nothing, put that foundation in, get it all going and get it ready for everyone to play on and play with and all that kind of stuff. Be doing some playtesting and everything. So of course, as we get to the playtesting phase, we will need playtesters. If you live in the area, you know I'm in Massachusetts, please drop me a line. CWFGamecast@wargamingforums.com. And then, maybe we will be able to get you into our playtest and tell us what you like, what you don't like, and just try out the scenario and see how things go. But like I said, we're still very early days right now. Very, very early days. Just kind of acquiring all our material and making it look pretty and figuring out what to do. But I will be talking more about that as the time gets closer. And actually, speaking of TotalCon, I do want to mention that I'm going to have a guest on the show who I had on last year, and she'll be on again. Her name is Angela Haru. She is the media director for TotalCon. She's going to be a guest before the end of the year, probably around Thanksgiving, so October, November, around there. She'll be talking about TotalCon and, you know, all sorts of stuff. It'll be a blast to have her back. I hope that when the time comes, you're going to love the episode. And she was a blast to have on last time, so be sure to look in our show notes because I'll have a link to the last time she was on. So head on over to wargamingforums.com/WR79 and you'll be able to get the link to go to the show notes and hear the episode that she was a guest on. So before I forget, I want to tell you about a couple things that are going on here at Wargaming Recon. I still have to tell you about the stats for the Troll in the Corner podcast network. And I didn't really want to end with those, but last episode I wanted to tell you about the stuff I'm about to tell you, but I forgot. And I don't want to forget again. So before I forget, I want to tell you some exciting news. I am delighted, ecstatic, very happy to announce that Wargaming Recon is now an official publisher on Wargame Vault and DriveThruRPG and all of those that all tie together. What does this mean for you? Well, this means that when you're on Wargame Vault, you're going and you're shopping and buying your gaming rules, you're buying your maps and all the different stuff that you buy on Wargame Vault, you're buying your issues of the Courier and Battle Games Magazine and all that kind of stuff. When you're getting whatever you're buying on Wargame Vault, you can add to your cart, you can get the latest episodes of Wargaming Recon. That's right, you can get Wargaming Recon when you're on Wargame Vault. Episodes are free. They don't cost you anything. They are 100% free. Just add them to your cart, download them. You'll get the audio file. It's an MP3. It'll play in whatever MP3 player you have. It'll play on your computer, whether you use it iTunes or Windows Media Player or whatever you're using to listen to any sort of music or audio files. It'll work on that, and it downloads as part of your order. It, like I said, it costs you nothing. It's just another way for you to get podcast episodes. So that while you're doing your shopping there and everything, you can just go ahead and get it. So maybe you don't subscribe to this podcast. Maybe you just go onto our website, wargamingforums.com, and maybe while you're there, you listen live or you download episodes from there. Instead of doing that, or in addition to, you go to Wargame Vault and then you're making your orders and purchases and then you just get your copy of whatever podcast episodes you want. Right now, we just have a few episodes up. It's my hope that every new episode will be there and that I will slowly add the back catalog, the classic episodes. So right now, I think episode, 76 is on there, 77 is on there, 78 is on there, and of course this episode and all new episodes will be on there. But everything before episode 76, I believe, is not on there just yet, but I will be adding them a little at a time, going all the way back to the first episode and everything, way back from 2006, so you'll be able to get all of those on Wargame Vault. If you want to go ahead and get them, you can head on over to wargamingforums.com/store, and that'll give you a direct link to our content on Wargame Vault. Right now, the only content we have are the podcast episodes, but like I mentioned, down the road, I hope to have my Dead Hampton Revolution stuff on there, and who knows what else. I'll have all the stuff. Not everything will be free, but the podcast episodes are free. They should and will always be free. Other stuff may or may not be free, but nothing will ever be expensive, I promise you. I'm just happy that you guys are listening to the podcast and will be using whatever products I put out. I know I'm not going to get rich off of this, so why should I make you pay a fortune for it? I shouldn't. So I won't. So you can go on over to wargamingforums.com/store, and that'll give you a direct link to Wargame Vault. And then while you're doing your shopping there, you can go ahead and pick up the latest episodes of Wargaming Recon. And since I'm talking about Wargame Vault, I want to remind you all that we are a very happy affiliate with Wargame Vault, DriveThruRPG, and all of them. So that while you're on there and you're getting whatever you're getting and you're spending whatever you're spending, that a percentage of what you spend will come and support us here at Wargaming Recon. And it'll do that if you use our affiliate link. And you can do that by going to wargamingforums.com/WargameVault, and that'll link you direct to Wargame Vault. And it has our affiliate link built in so that anything you buy, you know, we will get a percentage of to support us. Of course, I'll have links to this and links to our publisher page here on the show notes, which you can get you by going to wargamingforums.com/WR79. I know these are a lot of web addresses, so if you only remember one of them, please remember wargamingforums.com/WR79. If that's the only one you remember, just remember that one, because it'll have everything else in it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the August 2012 stats for the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. And this is the last segment for the show, I promise you. Each month, I am one of the editors. Well, not each month, but I'm one of the editors over at Troll in the Corner. And one of the things that I kind of have made my own little bailey with, my own little area of expertise, is the podcast network that we have created there. I'm an editor with my buddy on Troll in the Corner, Brent, and of course Ben, who is the owner of Troll in the Corner. And we created the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network, Wargaming Forums, and this show, Wargaming Recon, is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. And every month, I go ahead and I compile stats for each of our podcasts. I do a little write-up, and then I just kind of talk about the different shows and explain what the numbers mean. You can find all of that by going to a link that I'll have in the show notes. I've mentioned it many times, wargamingforums.com/WR79, and there'll be a link to the article I wrote up. But I just want to briefly talk a little bit about the stats, because the stats are fantastic. Some bad news was that I shut down one of the podcasts that I was running. In addition to Wargaming Recon, I used to run two other podcasts. I used to run Geeks Explicitly and GamerTunes. I shut down GamerTunes, and now I only do Wargaming Recon and Geeks Explicitly. When I shut down GamerTunes, I kind of merged it with Geeks Explicitly so that people who listen to Geeks Explicitly will get the content that's in GamerTunes. And that content's basically music for gamers, music to use in your games, that kind of stuff. So, although that's bad news, it's really good news because it allows me to be more focused on delivering the great content that you deserve when you listen to Wargaming Recon and when you listen to my other show, Geeks Explicitly. Now for the good news. In the month of August, the entire network earned over 3,500 listens. And you're thinking, what the heck is a listen? Well, we count a listen as each time an episode is accessed. Each time an episode is downloaded, listened to live, gotten via RSS, bought, quote unquote, for free on Wargame Vault, all that. So the four shows on Troll in the Corner Podcast Network have earned, between them combined, over 3,500 listens. That could be, you know, 35 of you listening so many times, one of you listening 3,500 times, whatever. So we're really excited because that's a growth over the month before. That's actually 400 more than we had in July. So I looked at the stats, and for the month of August, the most popular podcasts, and these are our four shows, Monsters of the Shattered World, which is hosted by Brent. It's a fantastic show. I really recommend that you go and listen to it. Got 232 listens. I should note that Brent only releases one new episode a month. So for one new episode plus his backlog, that's not bad at all. That's really good. Very proud of Brent. Very delighted with his numbers. He's done great. Wargaming Recon is in the number three spot with 838 listens. You gotta think, that's only for two episodes. I only release one episode every other week in a month, so that's two episodes a month. That's really good. Indie Talks is a show that Ben Gerber does, the owner of Troll in the Corner. 1,280 listens. Woo! Go, Ben! Good job. But the number one spot goes to, you guessed it, Geeks Explicitly. It's my other podcast. 1,379 listens. Thank you very much for making Geeks Explicitly the most listened to show on the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Now, because I like to geek out on numbers a little bit, I do more than just list, what the most popular podcasts are. I also talk about a few other things. I reveal how many new recordings, how many new episodes are put out in that month. Monsters of the Shattered World only comes out once a month, so they only had one. Wargaming Recon? Twice a month. It only comes out twice a month. Indie Talks? Ben claims it's like a bi-monthly podcast, but he usually does one a week or so. This past month, he's been really busy, so he only released two new episodes, but Geeks Explicitly released five episodes. Considering it's a weekly podcast, that's pretty amazing. There was at least one week where more than one episode went out. So Geeks Explicitly, again, taking the number one spot as the most prevalent show on the network. Then I go a little bit further, and I look at the numbers, and I determine how many listens there are on average per recording. And I'm like, let's take a peek and see how this is. And that's really just because, like I said, I like to geek out a little bit on numbers. So I go and I take a peek at the average number of listens per recording. So Monsters of the Shattered World has 77 listens per recording. Good job, Brent. Geeks Explicitly has 98 listens per recording. And you're thinking, 98? But you had like the most number of listens. That's right, but you gotta keep in mind that although I had the most number of listens, I also put out 5 new episodes of Geeks Explicitly. The number 2 spot goes to Indie Talks with 106, but, embrace yourselves, Wargaming Recon gets the number 1 spot with 419 listens per episode. So just think about that. If I put out more than one episode every other week, if I put out, say, a weekly podcast, 419 listens per episode, times the 4 episodes that I would put out in 1 week, you're going to get a hefty number, and you're doing the math, and you're thinking 419 times 4, that's right, I would get over 1,600 listens in 1 month. How awesome would be that? And finally, I do the change from the month before, whether there was an increase or a decrease of listeners for each show. Monsters of the Shattered World gained 95 listens. Wargaming Recon gained 436 listens. Good job, everyone. Thank you very much for your support and listening to Wargaming Recon. Geeks Explicitly gained 592 listens. That's right, 592 listens in 1 month. And Indie Talks gained 645. So you add them all up, and that's how you get that fantastic new number of over 3,500 listens when you add up the total number for each of the podcasts. So that's fantastic. I just want to thank everyone for the support that you've given and you continue to give to Wargaming Recon, to my other show, Geeks Explicitly, and to the entire Troll in the Corner podcast network. If you're interested in any of those other shows, please head on over to wargamingforums.com/TCPN. Of course, I'll have a link to that in the show notes. wargamingforums.com/WR79, and you'll be able to find out all about those other shows on the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Before I leave you, I just have one question question I want to leave with you. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it and get some feedback from you. So I want to know where all of you happen to think is the best place to get 10mm buildings for the American Revolution. I also want to know what you think about. Is it okay to use 15mm buildings for 10mm stuff? What do you think about the Old Glory buildings or JR miniatures? Of course, you know I'm fishing for information for the TotalCon event, so I need some 10mm buildings, and I want to know what you think is the best way to get them, where the best place is to buy them, and of course they have to be 10mm buildings for the American Revolution, American War of Independence. So please send all of your feedback and your comments to cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com and just let me know what you think. I want to thank all of you for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon, and I look forward to hearing from you and getting your feedback. Don't forget, we have a phone number now. You can leave us voicemail, and if you leave a voicemail, chances are it may appear in an upcoming episode. Please call 347-470-GAME. That's 347-470-4263. Don't forget to head on over to the show notes for this episode, wargamingforums.com/WR79, and you can get all the information that I talked about in the show, the 5 reasons you should shop at your friendly local game store, the update on the Dead Hampton Revolution, plans for TotalCon 2013, information about us being a publisher and an affiliate program with Wargame Vault, and of course a link to the stats for the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network for August 2012. I want to thank you all again, and of course, don't forget, keep on gaming. This show is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner Podcast Network. If you enjoy this show, you might like some of the other podcasts on the network. Every Wednesday is a new episode of Indie Talks with Troll ITC owner Ben Gerber. Ben chats with people involved with indie games, movies, and much more. Every Thursday is a new episode of Geeks Explicitly, hosted by yours truly. All aspects of geek life are discussed. Wargaming Recon comes to you on the 2nd and 4th Mondays of the month. I chat about historical and New England gaming. Monsters of the Shattered World, hosted by Troll ITC editor Brent Newhall, releases monthly. This story podcast details the adventures of a young scholar encountering strange monsters on a foreign planet. To learn more about the shows on TCPN, visit www.trollitc.com/TCPN.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Geeks Explicitly. New episodes coming at you every Thursday with Drew and Jonathan talking about geek life. If you don't listen to Geeks Explicitly, then only at trollitc.com.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner at trollitc.com.